Thanks, Anula. Okay, members and officers, we'd just like to make a start. I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should have their mobile phones turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Yeah. Okay. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting.
Yes.
That's what I was looking at going. Okay, members, you're all very welcome, and especially to the new members, you're also very welcome to the audit committee. I don't have any other comments to make, members, so just move directly to, or apologies, maybe.
Apologies. Do we have apologies? So, Marie Ward, Chief Executive, and
we'll just wait for the mic.
Councillor King, could you push yours off, and I'll do both. Apologies, Chair, are coming from the Chief Executive, Marie Ward, Conor Mallon, Director, and also for Una Hanlon, Sinn Féin.
Okay, thank you, members. Declarations of interest. I suppose you did have a question on that. Did you want to raise that at this juncture?
Just one more second.
until you start red.
I didn't know if it was for the audit committee or not. In relation to declarations of interest, what sort of things we should be declaring? I'm aware that the council is currently, as I do probably most days of the week, but there's certain issues with the estate of the Catholic Church that the council is dealing with. And I notice on the declarations of interest, just because I was going through them, just going through them myself, wondering what I need to put. And I notice when it comes to church membership, it's something that by and large isn't done, particularly within if you're a member or associated or affiliated in any way with the Catholic Church. But it's something that those with membership of a Protestant church are putting down. And I just feel that it's something that with this issue that came to my attention, and for example, if that issue were to come before a committee and there's nowhere in anyone's declarations of interest out of 41 members stating that they have any sort of influence or affiliation with that institution that, as we know, has a huge amount of estate in this district and, you know, ownership and manages churches and schools and things. So just perhaps if councillors should maybe be given some sort of guidance of what sort of thing that we should be declaring, whether church association is something that we should be putting down.
Yeah, before Gav comes in, just maybe not something that we can answer directly today, but maybe we can come back on. Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I suppose it's the...
the differences in denominations that is highlighted more so than anything, because within the Catholic Church, you're not seen as a member. You are a parishioner that attends Mass, if you so wish. And in the pre-meeting, I did state that potentially if someone sat on the finance committee of a particular parish, that is seen as a role. But if you attend Mass, you know, you may attend the church service, but not contribute anything to the collection. You know, how do you identify someone that is a member of the Catholic Church? So someone that, like myself, that does go to Mass regularly, you know, am I seen as someone? But I don't sit on any committees within my parish. So I don't see that as a conflict of interest, because I don't have a position of any decision making within the Catholic Church. I think that's always been the guidance that I have followed, is if I was in a position that the decision making of a particular body, I sit on particular groups within the area, and I do declare that in my declaration. But if I don't have a decision making that will have no influence on the council business, then I don't see it as a conflict.
As the chair has said, I think this is one we'll take away and speak to democratic services, because there also could be training and guidance that might be useful in this regard. As far as this meeting is concerned, this is about if there's any conflict matters on the agenda today. And it's a general point that you're making, take back rather than anything. We'll take that away as an action, to speak to democratic services and see more guidance. For you.
Just moving then to the action sheet, item number 3. This is from the meeting on the 23rd of May. I'm just going to go through each page for accuracy. So page 1. Members, that does touch on audit committee training, so the director is going to speak about that later. Page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Okay, so we'll take that as accurate. So could I have a proposer and seconder to approve? Happy to.
I'm happy to say.
Both by Councillor Hare and seconded by Councillor Sharvin. Thank you very much. Okay, members, item number 4 is the annual report of the Audit Committee for 23-24, and that's a report that I do up myself as the Chair of the Audit Committee. You hopefully had time to read the report and digest it, and it really highlights the key activities and any key issues arising throughout the year. And I'm just going to touch on a few items just generally first before I ask you for approval. You can see the attendance is in it, and we have we carry out an effectiveness evaluation of the performance of the Audit Committee, see how effective and if we're performing to the required standard. And I'm happy to say that, yes, we are. We're in line with best practice and we're operating effectively. So that's good news, members. However, there are a few things that I would just draw your attention to. Again, I would ask members to consider, whenever people are being appointed to the Audit Committee, perhaps they stay on for more than 1 year. The idea behind it being maybe a term of 4 years is it would be really good, because it takes time to come up to speed with what happens at the Audit Committee. So that's always an advantage and maybe one to be considered by the political parties if they would. Training is another one. And yes, the director's advisor will be training going forward for the new members and for existing members. We don't always think we always need refresher training as well. And then we had indicated there about adding value to the organisation, and I had tasked maybe the officers with bringing forward how the Audit Committee could add value. So if we could put that down as an action point, then we can maybe come back to that again. And then, members, we had an unqualified audit opinion from the 2022-23 financial statements from external audit, which is a really good achievement. You can see all the risk management aspects that are listed there, and internal audit, then the report back from ASM. And ASM, the number of audits that they carried out and whether they had what type of assurance that they had, and the few items that they were drawn to our attention. And then the follow-up of the audit recommendations, which is very important for this audit committee, that we make sure that we follow up All audit recommendations have been done in the past. So members, I would just like to say thank you to all of those of you who were here with me for the last year and for their support during that period in delivering an effective audit committee. And we look forward to doing the same again for this coming year that we're in at the moment. So members, unless you have any questions, I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. Not.
I suppose it's a comment, Chair, and it's to thank you for the term and for your leadership and keeping us all honest and right. And hopefully the next coming chair after you will just be as good once it is announced of whoever that person shall be, given the process I'm sure has been completed, will be just as good as yourself. So if not better, who knows, but just to thank you on that.
Oh, much appreciated. Thank you, Councillor. Thank you.
So, Councillor Sarvin, you've just taken the thunder away from me there. So, we're delighted to announce that our chair will be remaining as and she was in the recruitment process, which actually only concluded yesterday afternoon. So, delighted to be able to announce that Rona will be able to steer this new ship that you do very, very well, as you've said. And delighted that there. So that's the big announcement of today. I'm delighted. And then also just to say, you know, welcome to all the new members of the audit committee as well. And we will get training organised, because this committee is slightly different from the other committees that you sit on. And it's important that people have, you know, the background and skills.
Thank you, Councillor, for those kind comments, and I hope I can continue to perform effectively over the term. And thank you, Director, as well. And I'm delighted to be here actually to continue in this role and to work alongside all of the councillors, including the new councillors. Thank you very much for that. So, members, just a proposer and seconder then to note the report.
Happy to propose and just to say congratulations. We're delighted to see you reappointed. Role, and thank you for all your work throughout the year.
Very much, Councillor Hare. Propose. Proceed to second. Thank you very much, members. Okay, that takes us to the Corporate Risk Register. I'm going to pass to Josephine for this. Thank you.
So, Councillors, in front of you is the Corporate Risk Register and also the Risk Register for the Directorate of SME today. So, SMT met on the 23rd of July and have reviewed the Corporate Risk Register. There still remains 12 corporate risks. You'll be able to see section 2.1, six of which are red, five are amber, and one is yellow. No new risks have been added. However, we did take away the action from the last meeting where we looked at the two limited internal audit reports of contract management and compliance checking. And we've rather than adding sort of new risks, what we have done is put in sort of, covered off those two reports and looked at our actions, both at corporate level and also at directorate level. So that's probably the biggest change with the Corporate Risk Register at this point in time. You will see also the S&E directorate attached to the paper. And what I'll do, councillors, I'll just stop here. And if there's any questions on the Corporate Risk Register, happy to take them. And also we'll have Sinead here as the director of S&E to answer. Maybe on the SME risk register.
Okay, thank you, Director, for that. Members, Councillor Sarvin.
Yeah, Chair. My question's in relation to Appendix 2, which is the corporate risk register. So it's, the first one is page 9, and it's just in relation to the backlog cases for planning in particular. Whenever I was reading the paper, I was a bit surprised that we don't have the comparative stats for 23-24. And we had a discussion in the pre-meeting of where those stats actually come from. Because in my head, I would have thought it'd be within house, we would have those figures and we would be able to compare the performance of planning to previous years to what 23-24 actually would be. And then there was discussion, does those figures actually come from NISRA? So I suppose the first part of the question is, do we have those stats in-house that we can start to do comparison? And then secondly, when do we expect that the comparison of performance would the output be presented?
So unfortunately, we don't either have Connor or Jonathan with us today, but these stats come from the NISRA. You know, I need to just check because of the new system, you know, the new IT system that came in May. I don't know whether give comparative problems from the year before. So I don't want to say something that's not correct. So what I'll do is take that query back to people that could answer. And if we can provide the comparative statistics, make sure that those are.
Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just in the back of what Gareth is saying there, Josephine, about the, I suppose there's still a sizable number of complaints coming in regarding planning across the district. Processing times, applications received haven't yet been allocated to officers. I know that you're all very, very aware of that. So I think the stats would be really, really good to see, are we making a dent and are we making the progress that's so badly needed? Because on the ground, it definitely doesn't feel. And I know that there's loads of reasons for that in the background, but from a customer and the member of the public, the system is failing and continues to fail. So if we can get those stats, I think that'll be very important. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
And sorry, I had a second point, same appendix, page 19, the rate support grant. I know from our last meeting, there was to be a meeting of the seven councils that be impacted given the changes of the rate support grant back in May, just to understand what came out of that meeting and where as a group we are worked with around.
Sorry, you're flat. So the seven councils did meet, Councillor Sharvin, and it was really, really we were discussing the independent review, which is ongoing through the department. So the department consultants have met with myself and the Chief Executive and Director of Corporate Services about a month ago to really get more detail in relation to rate support grant, what we use it for and what the need is. But they're meeting all 11 councils, and as far as I'm aware, they're also going to SOLAS, and then they're going to publish a report. But there's no change or no commitment that the rate support grant is going to be reinstated.
Sharvin, would you like to come back in?
Yeah, and thank you, Jared. I suppose over the years, this council has continuously seen the rate support grant go down. And the rate support grant was established for good reasons. I don't know whether the audit committee is the right committee to write to the department to air the council's concerns that any further changes to the rate support grant would have a negative impact, not just on us as a council, but to the people of our district, or if the paper needs to go to SPNR for us to propose that. But we are a committee, I suppose we can propose, and we could maybe echo the discussions that we had with the other councils of what we use it for and why we continuously need it and actually need it to be increased.
Just to clarify, in relation to that, I would imagine that SOLAS, the Chief Executive's Forum, is following up on this. Jared, would that be correct already?
Yeah, it is a topic for SOLAS, and it's at our sort of local government finance officers meeting also. But I know Derry and Strabane have put a paper together, and it really forms in the back of last year. We completed a return in relation to the quality impact assessment, and know which provided all the details and why it was needed, and know the levels of deprivation. So it follows on from that report. But just yesterday, I was aware Derry and Strabane did issue a paper. I'm not sure if it was the permanent secretary or it was to the independent review, but it is probably an action we could bring forward.
Yes, please.
Jared, Sarah's right. We wrote council last year. There was a impact assessment, and we did quite a detail. There was drafts and details, exactly as what you've said. It was a very good reason why we had the support in place, and we benefited over the years, but it has declined year on year. There's probably, I think, maybe an action. Maybe what we can do is bring paper to the SPA, showing the, you know, the return that we gave last year to the department, and to give an update so that, you know, all of council can see where we are in this. That would be helpful.
I suppose, Chair, we have a minister now in place, and the minister has had close to a year of his feet under the table, and ultimately can make a decision that will have an impact on our race support grant. He, as a council, should write to the minister, and if need be, the independent review. You know, if one council has already written to them, whoever it be, you know, that could also give them a further head start in front of us as a council. So I certainly think we should be out in our corner as much as we can as well.
Let's have that as an action.
You content that I write paper for SPNR?
Thank you. That's a Mathers.
Thanks, Chair. It's back to page 9 again. See, appendix 2, yeah. In relation to the internal review of overturn decisions, planning committee. So, does this review also take into account the planning appeals commission and cases that they have overturned? Or is this solely directed at the committee, at the planning committee?
I'll have to come back to you. I just don't have a report in front of me. My understanding was it was the planning committee, but again, I don't want to be wrong what I'm saying to you. I'll find that out.
It's my understanding that that committee has had no input into this review, which I find strange, but if you could back to me on that.
Well, ASM completed that report. Would Leona, and it was, I know it wasn't you, it was Christine, but would Leona, would you have any information in relation to help the councillor?
Not aware of anything at the minute.
Thank you. Yeah, the report was done and was presented at the last audit committee. Comprehensive report it was too. That was probably done with the officers, the planning and all of the process. That would be the normal procedure, but the director would check. Thank you. Okay, members, I had one quick question, and it was in relation to the S&E risk register, appendix 4, or no, actually appendix 3. And I noticed that most of the risks have gone up. So obviously you've been doing a really good evaluation of what the risks are facing the department as a whole, which is great. But the one in relation to the operator's licence for the fleet, I noticed it's in the corporate risk register, and at that, in fact, that risk register is reflecting probably other things as well, but that is showing at a level of 20, and then it's sitting within the S&E and also as a risk and sitting at 15, and I was just wanting to tease out if you feel that the level of 15 is high enough.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, so we did a detailed review of the risks within the directorate. Looked at consequence. What is the consequence? Yeah, looking at the probability, particularly of that related risk, how the individual risk probability of that decision was made in at 3, which is possible rather than likely. The reason behind that is the perspective of it within the section. It's audited by the audit and
movements. This is an audit. Good. Okay, thank you very much, Nate. That's good to hear that there's improvements. It's a very important area, the operator's license. So it's great to hear those improvements being made. So thank you for that. Okay, members, could I get a proposer and seconder to approve that register, please? Councillor King, thank you, and Councillor Devlin, thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 6, which is prompt payments. I'll ask Jared to briefly take us to that report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So, members, this is just the quarterly statistics in relation to us paying suppliers. So, the table of 2.1 shows that we have been increasing really in the last 2 years. In 2022-23, we introduced a new system, and that was right at the beginning of the year. But last year was the full first year of operation, so you can see 95% of invoices were paid within 30 days and actually 50% within 10 days, which is significantly up on the previous years. But in relation to quarter one for 24-25, again, we paid 95% of invoices within 30 days and 44% within 10 days. And our average number of days to pay a supplier is 13. So just asking members to note the quarter one statistics.
Thank you, Jared. Members content if they are, if a proposer and seconder to note, please. Councillor Mathers to propose and Councillor Devlin to second. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. Then item number 7, the assurance framework and code of governance. Jared, if you would take that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So again, members, this is a document that's updated annually, and it's really to form the basis of our financial statements and annual accounts, which is on the agenda today also. So the Council's assurance framework is summarised at Appendix 1, and there's only sort of minor amendments made this year, and it's adding new strategies or frameworks or even just amending wording within the assurance framework. At section 2.2 then, I've highlighted the annual governance statement for 23-24, and the council has a statutory responsibility to annually prepare and publish the annual governance statement within the accounts, and that's at agenda item 9. So all I'm asking members to do is to note the amendments to the assurance framework and code of governance at appendix 1. But happy to take any questions as well on the document.
Thank you, Jared, for that. I'm not seeing any questions coming through, so proposer and seconder would be great, members. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor King. Propose and Councillor O'Hare second. Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 8, the performance improvement plan for 24-25. And again, Jared, I think you're up again. Or Catherine, you're going to come. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's just to note the final version of the Performance Improvement Plan 24-25, which was approved by the SPNR Committee 13th of June and published before the 30th of June in line with our statutory responsibility. It was supported by a consultation and engagement report and objective
delivery. I know there's a huge amount of work goes into this, but some members will have already seen it. But have any members any questions? No. If I could have a proposer and seconder then to note the report. Councillor Sharvin to propose. Councillor Murphy to second. Thank you, and thanks again, Catherine. Okay, members, items 9 to 13 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. If a relation relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information. So I'm going to ask for a proposal and seconder to go into closed business. Thank you, Councillor O'Hare and Councillor Murphy to second. Thank you very much, members. I'll just take a couple of minutes to stop the recording. Thank you, Fionnuala. Members, the following items were agreed during close of business. Item number 9, unaudited accounts and annual governance statement on the proposal of Councillor Bosie, seconded by Councillor King, was agreed to approve the annual governance statement 23-24 at Appendix 1, page 21-24, and to note the draft statement of accounts and financial statements at Appendix 1. Item number 10, procurement action plans on the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Mathers, was agreed to note the update in relation to the Directorate Procurement Action Plans. Item number 11, update on fraud and whistleblowing, including NFI. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare and seconded by Councillor Devlin, it was agreed to note the update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases, which have been detailed in Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report, and two, to note the progress on actions arising from the NIAO Internal Fraud Risk Assessment. Item number 12, the ASM Summary Report. On the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor King, was agreed to approve, to note, I think, the ASM report and summary report. And item number 13, Internal Audit Plan 24-25. On the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor King, was agreed to approve the Internal Audit Plan 24-25. Okay, members, that draws us to the close of business today. Just want to thank you all for coming along. I hope the new members of the Audit Committee found it useful and enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you very much.